A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Ksubas Mem Ches, Ksubas 48a, pagination is 95. Towards the bottom of the page, I'd like to do one statement in the Gemara and look to elaborate on it. So we are four lines from the bottom. Ha'omer, if a person says, Imesu, if he dies, referring to himself, Lotik beruhu minachasov, don't bury him from his own assets, meaning, when I die, don't bury me from my own assets, from the Yerusha, from the inheritance, but rather, let tzedakah, let the community take care of the burial. I want the money to go directly to the inheritors, to the Yarshim, to his children. Ein shomin lo. We don't listen to him. And the reason is, lav kol heimenu, it's not within his ability, sheya'asher es bonov, to make his children wealthy, give them the extra $10,000, let's say, v'yapel atzmo al atzibur, and place himself on communal funds. You can't do that. As much as we're looking to listen to Divrei Hames, to the last words of a person in this world, he makes a comment, we try to fulfill it, mitzvah lekayim Divrei Hames, but this is not correct. He's not allowed to do that. And if there are assets, the assets of the inheritance will be used first in order to do the burial, and then from there, they can inherit. This is codified in Halacha, Shulchan Aruch Hoshen Mishpat Reish Nun Gimel Sif Lamed. Shechiv Meirasha Tziva Va'omar Altis Biduhu Ein Sof Demoso. If a person on his deathbed says, don't eulogize me, so in a general sense, we will listen to him. There are exceptions. The reason that we would listen to him is because it's covered hames, and there are other aspects to eulogies, that it's for the chayim, for the live people, to recognize the loss. Sometimes the people need, but in a general sense, if he says don't eulogize, we can listen to him. But Omar Altik Beruhu Minachasav, if he says don't bury me from my property, my assets, ain't shomim lo. We don't listen to him. Elakofenes ayarshem lekovro minachasav. We force the inheritors to take the assets that they're inheriting and use from the top to provide a proper burial. And after that, they can inherit. I use the extra words of a proper burial because in Shulchan Aruch Yoredeya Shin Mem Ches Beis, we find this halacha codified as well. Ha'omer al tikvru minachasav, if a person makes this statement that we're discussing, don't bury me from my assets, ain't shomim lo, don't listen. Elamotzia miyarshim kotzerche kivuraso balkarcho, we take from the inheritance all the needs for the burial against his will. V'chein kol ma sheregilim la'asos levnei mishpachto, even what's normal to be done according to the family custom, whatever the norms are, that's going to be required from the inheritance. Afilu ha'even shanosnim ala kever, even the matseva, the stone, provided that they got it as an inheritance, that money is going to be used for the burial in a dignified way, according to the local or family norms. Now, in a typical sense, this is a bit unlikely and very understandable. Person tries to shirk their responsibility from their own assets, hoping that tzedakah will cover it, so we don't listen. You have a responsibility. You have to pay up from your assets. You can't shirk your responsibility and expect tzedakah funds to pick up the flack. There is, however, an example of a case where people are very motivated from a spiritual sense and therefore sometimes may do things that possibly may shirk their responsibility. And it's delicate. The case of a person regarding tuition of their children who claims that he can't afford tuition because he has to pay miser. He has to give a lot of tzedakah, 10% mandated. We'll see it, discussion about miser in another two pages in here in the Gemara. And he can't afford tuition. Where does that claim leave us? So the first step in appreciating the situation is to be aware that a person has a responsibility to educate their children. Reb Moshe Feinstein paskins that not only boys' tuition, where there's a technical requirement of Limud HaTorah, but even girls' tuition, because there's an obligation of chinuch to raise them as good Jews, and that is done through our Jewish education system. And therefore, the tuition is not going to come from Maaser, from the 10% designated for tzedakah. However, if a person is in a situation where they simply don't have income greater than reasonable expenses, then on some level they may actually be absolved of the custom of Maaser, of 10% of income, of money. And while we wouldn't be able to absolve them if this was the real case of Maaser by grain, but if it's dealing with money, which is a custom, it's a different level of obligation, if he can't afford basic living expenses, then he's not going to have the obligation of Maaser. Which brings us to the question of what level of obligation is tuition, and can a person claim, I need an additional discount because I need to be able to continue giving Maaser. So in a healthy dynamic, when everything goes smoothly, the organization will give a scholarship discount of some sort, and it will be proper for a person to allocate significant amount of their miser towards the organization that's educating their children based on hakaras hatov, appreciation, and based on responsibility, because they gave a scholarship. But if you can afford, if you have discretionary distributable miser money, so they're the appropriate address for that distribution. But sometimes the situation gets so stressed that they give their discount and the person feels that they simply can't give miser and also pay the tuition, and they would like to be able to continue giving miser at the expense of paying their tuition obligation. And one approach in the poskim is that a person should simply give that miser allocation to the school, and the chips will fall where they do. If it counts as miser, so it's counting as miser, great. If it doesn't count as miser, but that's your obligation, and you can't shirk the obligation because you have a calculation of how you want to use your discretionary amount. The reason it might count as miser, even though Reb Moshe Paskin's chinuch doesn't, is because maybe, perhaps, the scholarship wasn't awarded properly. Maybe you really are, unfortunately, in greater need than they perceive, and the scholarship should have been allocated differently, perhaps. Maybe it counts. But if it doesn't, either way, the responsibility on the parent for the child's education is indeed a significant obligation. And if we could borrow the words of the Gemara, lav kol kamine, a person does not have the right to say, I want the zechus of tzedakah, or I would like, in the case of the Gemara, my children to have more money, and let tzedakah funds pick up the flack. Obviously, we still believe that a person does need to give tzedakah to other organizations. Organization couldn't say, all your money has to go to us because we're educating your child, the same way that we understand that scholarships do not squeeze people that tight in their assessment as to withhold from them basic style of living. People still use air conditioning. We consider it a necessity for our lifestyle and what we're accustomed to. A person literally closes down on an extremely hot day if they don't have access to that. There's certain normal ways of living, and similarly, a person will continue giving tzedakah to poor, to other organizations, to appreciate the education that they got, to the yeshivas that they went to, etc. But the bulk of the money, which could be literally many thousands of dollars of miser, how should it be allocated? The organization that is currently dealing with a tuition question does have the right to expect additional funding from the miser allocation. And again, whether it counts as miser or doesn't count as miser, that's something that a person should discuss with their own spiritual mentor. Yasher Koach, thank you for joining.